This is a HeadGum Original.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
How's the life of a retired international criminal? I need your help, Dom. Last week, a team of highly coordinated drivers took down a military convoy. This most recent job graduated them to a whole new level. You're gonna help me catch the team responsible.
Why is that, Hobbs?
This was taken a week ago.
He's messing with your head. Lady's dead, Dom.
I need to know for sure.
Then I'm going with you.
Equipment's way better than that trash in Rio.
Way better.
So now we work for the Hulk?
Things changed.
Breathe with me!
Our target's Owen Shaw, former major in the SAS, Spec Ops soldier.
You help us get Letty, we'll get you, Shaw. But we need full pardons all the way around.
And cars. Make sure they're fast.
We talk of vehicular warfare.
I've never seen this before.
You believe in ghosts?
You don't turn your back on family, even when they do.
You really think you've won? This code you live by is about family. It's the very reason you weren't even in the game.
Damn.
Breathe with me. Breathe.
Somebody do something. I gotta take all my ass.
Lapkus is taking care of some business at home.
TCB, baby. Not baby, but just TCB.
No, just TCB, baby. Maybe. Okay. We watched Fast and Furious 6. Gotta say, the names of these movies, they're getting harder and harder. because I bought all of them. So they're like out of order in my iTunes, or it's difficult. Anyway, okay, this is the sixth episode of our fourth season. We're watching all the Fast and Furious movies, 10 episodes. We're going to cover all 9 movies plus Hobbs and Shaw. I was very confused during this one because I am introduced to Shaw that I don't know. So Fast and Furious 6 is available for a fee on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu. Guess what? There's fucking spoilers. This came out in 2013. We're in 2021. We're in the fucking future. Okay. Before I give my thoughts, let's just introduce our guest.
Hell yeah.
Gabrus, do you want to do it?
Sure, I know this guy rather well. We talk about movies together for over 4 hours a week for the last 5 years from the Dumbbells podcast. He co-hosts with Eugene Cordero right here on HeadGum, and the Action Boys podcast, which he co-hosts with me and our mutual friend and work acquaintance, Ben Rogers. Ryan Rhino Stanger!
What up? What up? Treat to be here, guys.
Thank you so much for doing this. Stanger, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is your relationship to the Fast and Furious movies?
I'm trying to think of, I've been listening to some of your guys' episode, and what would mine be that's unique to previous guests? I would say my kind of hot-ish take is that I really like the first three the most.
Yeah, okay. That is a hot, steaming take.
It is, and I'm with you guys in the sense that something special happened with five,
mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the sum total of the four previous ones. In that it's kind of like they figured out what was great about all of them and then just put it into five. And then we got that. And it was really, I rewatched that one in preparation for what we're going to cover, six. And so I was like, oh man, this
you
is.
You did
this,
extra.
I did extra. I did a lot of homework on this one.
I watched 5 hours worth of movies. Homework.
Homework. Yeah. It was a nightmare. But I was thinking about it. Five, I feel like, really soared because it's kind of like their Ocean's 11, you know, like they're mm-hmm. Let's lean into this heist concept. And they're still kind of underdogs in it. And it, to me, as they progress and as the stars and egos get bigger, as the cast gets older, I hate to be an ageist, I just start to like them less. And like when you go back and you watch the first one, they're all beautiful and young uh-huh. and kind of scrappy and it's kind of a youth movie, you know, and it's like, oh, I want to hang with these people and do some street racing. I'm interested in that. And then you just get further and further and further and further away from that. And then it's like they'll just dangle, you know, the original fast heads like myself a little bit. Like, oh, they'll just kind of do a playful race that's unrelated to anything. Just so there's your fucking race. Now, back to hand-to-hand combat or whatever it is.
Yeah. This is what I like about six. It's exactly what you said there. They did five was their Ocean's 11. Six mm-hmm. is their Justice League meets the Anti-Justice League.
I think six is their Expendables,
I will say, though, six brings back more car driving, not racing,
yes.
but because the elite mobile unit, that they're facing off Shaw and his crew. But I also think this one features the best hand-to-hand of all the movies. And it has an abundance of hand-to-hand.
A lot of hand-to-hand. Also, this movie starts off by saying, if you haven't seen the first five, no worries. We got you covered.
The credits
explain it. The
intro
to this is like a TV show. We will show you clips out of order from every movie before this. I couldn't believe it.
But that's also what reminded me. I was like, oh, look at them. They're so cute. Like all of them were like cute and young. And I just feel like the stakes were higher back then, oddly, even though there was a lot less going on. Like it's much more grounded. And that first one is a fucking, I like that it's kind of a Point Break ripoff, you know?
It is, with cars. And it's
with
kind
cars.
Of an indie.
It
I
is.
I love the first one.
Me too.
The first one
Beyer.
Was a great on a rewatch. You also just see why Vin and Paul
mm-hmm.
can carry a
they're
$200
electric.
Million dollar movie. Because in five and six, it's so fun that they're just both back in the same movie. It like just makes it so strong to me.
They are. You do kind of feel sad for everybody too, because this is their weird gilded cage in that they all got shots to kind of go on and do something. These were like huge movies. They all deservedly so. They're stars in their own right, but they all just kind of keep having coming back to mama. Like they got like, hey, I'm going to do my own shitty movies. And then like, I better get back for another Fast Six. And I know where my bread is buttered. Because Diesel kind of had, he's a fascinating character in the sense that he had this crazy auspicious rise with Multifacial. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, baby. Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, I love it.
So I was riveted by him as a, you know, watching these movies and growing up as a kid, like Multifacial, Saving Private Ryan, Fast and the Furious, Pitch Black. And then he did it. He left them. He started his own franchise with Triple X. It was a hit. Then he
Triple X is like Fast and the Furious,
totally.
Except without. No, I guess there's a team in that too.
Yeah,
there there's fake deaths.
Remove cars and add kayaks or whatever.
Oh, there was one where a motorcycle turned into a jet ski, and I said, wow, Vin Diesel, what won't you do?
It's kind of
how
what
do you never know what we're talking about in Fast and the Furious, but you're doing these deep pulls from Triple X. It's crazy to me, Meyer.
It's ultimately what Fast became, right?
Yeah.
But so then he does his
it's
comedy.
Bond. They become Bond movies, more or less, yeah.
He does his family comedy with The Pacifier, another huge hit. And then he does Find Me Guilty with Sidney Lumet. And that was like, he was like, well reviewed. So I'm like, dude, you got it. Now it's like, whatever you want to do. You want to be like a Tom Cruise or something. And like, he just couldn't, like, he's just, I don't know if he knows what's good about him, but I guess he does because he's so fucking
popular.
And the answer is Dominic fucking Toretto.
I mean,
what's good for him.
He's so good as Dom. I gotta say, my favorite part of this movie was Letty thanking the woman who was fucking him while she was fake dead. And then Dom being like, you know, you can stay here. And she's like, I have my own family and it's the police. And I was like, wait, Dom, were you inviting this woman to like join your couple as a thruple? And she was just like, no, thanks. It was wild.
Here's what's crazy about it, too. All that worked for me. I was like, yeah, that's well handled across the board. I was like, I respected the lady from Priscille. Letting him go and like, hey, I would do the same.
Brazil!
I respected Letty. I thought Don kind of handled it well. It's like, look, all my fucking cards are on the table. I'm fucking everybody. I could fuck both you guys. You want to take off and masturbate to your dead husband?
That's really dead.
I get it. You want Brian to fuck you? Look, whatever, you know, we're all, you know,
I got to say, Brian's baby seemed like, dumb. Like, it didn't know where it was the whole time. It kept looking around, and I was like, you're on a movie set, baby. Like, why don't you get it?
You're 100% right. Get that hat off the kid.
Yeah, right?
We don't need the hat in every frame. It's like they had the baby for 20 minutes. He's going to wear a hat the whole time, or we don't play ball. I heard that there was beef between the baby and Vin Diesel. And Vin Diesel's like, I don't want this baby's bald head. I'm the only bald guy.
I'm the bald one in these movies. He was making a huge stance.
You know, maybe that's his real issue with The Rock. He was like, I really don't like another baldy. Also, The Rock was less sweaty in this one than the other one. So I feel like makeup got little fans for him or something because he's like not dripping wet in every scene.
No, I think they had to like they were like, the oil is kind of crazy.
I mean,
guarantee
I like Tyrese calling it out.
Yeah. Oh, and then what about him saying Tyrese has a big forehead? And clearly that's an improvised line because Ludacris narfs fucking soda in this. It's so awesome. He's like, wait, now, is it true that when right before Bangarang gets on stage, you gather everyone around and say, let's do what we do best? Improvise.
You've guessed it at shows. You know, both you guys.
Let's do what we do best.
Improvise.
It's like,
improvise.
The answer is drive, you fucking idiot. That is
it
what
is.
You do best. You
it
suck
is.
At improv. If the improvisation required no cars, you guys would all be jammed up.
That's why you're involved in this whole movies, because you can fucking drive. That's the premise for six, is that you guys are driving. go ahead.
I was going to do the Toretto Gazetta.
Oh,
let's
I
do
hear.
It.
Okay, Vin Diesel, this made me wet, teases a Dom Toretto spinoff.
Of course.
In an interview with Vulture, Vin Diesel teased the possibility of a spinoff centered around Dom or the rest of the Toretto family, which makes me so excited. I will say that there's nothing that's off the table, he told Vulture in a Q&A. I think the Toretto storyline is what we've wanted to do and can always exist in the future. It's not something that's completely off the table. When asked if the spinoff would be a prequel since audience have met young Dom. Oh, yeah,
Fast
you said
nine.
A nine. Diesel coyly responded, will say there's nothing that is off the table. My favorite thing is the only quote in this is there's nothing off the table. We've learned nothing.
And also, like, oh, the lead actor and executive producer is like, look, I'm down to do whatever movies society wants me to do. Is news on this show where it's like, also, Vin Diesel willing to work.
Also, the main star and character in all of the movies except three and two and three, I guess, is like, hey, the next one's going to be a spinoff all about Toretto.
It's like, it's what, been kind of about Toretto.
What was 6, 7, 8, 9? It's like, I dig it though. I hope it's some kind of fake biopic, like, where they just invent like a whole story and just have him all the way through his life.
I hope it's
shit.
About him and Letty's son, and he's an old man makeup, the whole, like, the Irishman. And he's walking around talking to old Dom, and he's like, yeah, we used to drive cars that weren't electric. You know, just saying
that weren't
like
electric. We used to not have to plug them in. I would watch that in a heartbeat.
And what's next for the series? Time travel? I mean, that's the only thing. It's not nothing's off the table.
No. I mean, that is the only heightening from space, right? Is like
wait, they go to space?
Spoilers!
In the ninth one, they go to space?
Oh, we'll
get
there.
Well, you know, in Hobbs and Shaw, they fight a cyborg.
Yeah, there's a mutant. There's like a legit mutant kind
and
of
plot. And I remember watching Hobbs and Shaw being like, huh. That seems wild. No, I'll go with it. I accept this. This is fine.
You just kind of have to. I love The Rock. You know, his goatee was kind of stupid in 5, so it's tighter in this one. Like, he's like, all right, I'm getting rid of the length in this one. And I'm with you guys in the sense that I don't think that he fits in these movies. I love what he did for 5, mm-hmm. but I feel like Vin Diesel is bringing it more. I feel like Vin Diesel's a better actor.
I gotta say... For the level and energy of these movies, the vibe of these movies, The Rock doesn't fit at all. His screen time in 6 is the amount he should be in a movie like this. Like,
yes.
He's 5. He's great. He like kicks it up a notch. And then I love how little he's used in 6. But we just don't need him at all.
His shit bored me in 6. Like, I was like, I don't care. But like, he's too fucking built. Like, his outfit is stupid. I'm like, change your fucking outfit one time.
Yeah, it's you gotta like wear your vest over your shit. And
yeah,
all get
it. You gotta fast and furious him. Like, give him the fucking boots and an inexplicable jacket. Everybody's
no,
always wearing jackets.
He's gotta show the Under Armour sign, because I think he had an Under Armour deal.
For sure.
Of course. You think there was a Corona deal or an Under Armour deal or any kind of car deals in these movies?
And give us a little foreplay on his arms. They just are out with his arms from the beginning.
They are,
it's like, tease
just
us a
out.
Little bit. Get you got to build to that. Then he's got to fucking pull the shirt off, and then we can like showcase the arms. But it's like, man, his arms are, I'm like bored with his arms by the end, and I shouldn't be. It's a lot of work goes into those arms.
I gotta say, Mia. I didn't.
Oh,
like
I'm
that
so.
She,
what? I'm so sorry. I just want a correction. I'm thinking the amount of time he's in 7, which I also watched because we're recording that later today. The amount of time he's in 7 is the right amount. He's in 6 way too much.
He's in this,
including
too much.
Like leaping out of planes into jeeps at 335 pounds of muscle, where you would just blow your ACLs clean off your body.
I loved how much there was jumping from vehicle to vehicle, and Vin Diesel. They make him seem they want you to think he's like very light and can fly through the air, but I'm like, this man is a potato. Like, he is thick, he is heavy. I do not buy it. But you know who's not a potato? Mia. She's kind of thin in this one.
She's scary thin in this.
It's like, too much. I don't want to shame, but she's like she's supposed to be 9 months pregnant, and like,
yeah,
we got like sharp jawline showing or something.
Yeah, I was like, wow, for a woman who just had a baby, she really pushed it out, and that baby sucked her soul out. I couldn't believe it.
When Vin soars through the air to catch Letty and land on the car, I showed Tiffany that clip, and Tiffany goes, you know, it's crazy, but watching it, I think it works. Like the fit. And I was like, you know what? You're right. In this movie, these physics make total sense. She's like, yeah, he lined it up, right? It's like, and that's the rules they live by in these movies. And that's what I like it so much, where it's like, yeah, he can soar across the span of a bridge, catch, and neither, neither of them get hurt?
Nobody got hurt. And Letty was like, how did you know a car would be there to break our fall? And he was like, I didn't. And she was like, okay.
Let's unpack that too. How did you know a car would be there to break our fall?
Yeah, it's like a car doesn't break your fall. It hurts just as much as concrete.
Have a fucking mattress truck crash. Why not? What the hell?
With a bunch of mattresses just bunch like of... spilling out. And the driver's like, oh, no. I would like that. Real quick, we have to take a break. If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto connect for zero click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we back. Okay, so this was written by Chris Morgan. I feel like he's written more.
Yeah, he's written a bunch of these. I think he wrote the first one. Yeah.
He kind of came on when they started with Lynn, maybe, or something.
Mm-hmm, because Justin Lin also directed this. This was released May 24th, 2013. Mm. I had a lot of fun watching this, but I got to say, I was really confused as to who Shaw was the whole time.
Because you've seen Hobbs and Shaw, but not any of these other movies,
which and I was
really
funny. Hobbs and Shaw is Jason Statham, but then in this movie, he's a younger, handsome man who I thought was in A Star is Born, but that's not the same English man. It's a different English man. I was like, who is this Shaw?
Luke Evans is this Shaw, and I think about him a lot because he's really good in this movie. I enjoy him in this movie. Mm-hmm. But then his brother, who's never seen until the end, is the guy who gets the spinoff and like all the other franchises. Like Statham gets to come back a bunch. But Shaw is just, spoilers. But Shaw is like, you know, he's gone after this. And it's upsetting. It's upsetting.
Oh, he's gone after this? But he was the main fucking bad guy.
Oh, he comes back, but no one who's ever bad is truly bad to the bone. No one who's truly good is always good. Not in the Fast Furious franchise.
Well, I liked when Riley, that like mean looking lady who fights Letty when they fall down the stairs or whatever, at the end, when he's like, come on, she's like, I'd be glad to. And I was like, hey, wow, we get it. You're bad. You're really telegraphing this, lady.
Yeah. She's a I love females fighting, especially two tough broads like Michelle Rodriguez and Gina Carano. But that the entire while we're talking about this, the entire subway fight scene, the fight between the two of them, and the fight where the one bad guy takes on Han and Roman and smokes mm-hmm. them the entire time.
And that then Roman's like, "We can't talk about this," and I was like, "That's funny." Yeah.
He's really funny in this one.
He's and this is the beginning of his sort of runner that he's the meta guy, and he like he gets to do the meta move. He's like big guy, handsome dude, like this. They're us. Look, they got their own Toretto. They got their own they got their own Letty, and it was like that's such a funny move to have that sequence in the movie where it's like we know they're doing it, and then they just add that to the fucking movie.
It made me laugh. Oh, this Gina Carino lady. She's an MMA. What an MMA fighter?
She's got bad MMA politics. Fighter. Bad
current
politics.
Turf.
Yeah.
Oh, she got canceled, right? Because she likes Trump or something.
Kind of. I mean,
she
that
got
all
canceled.
Go. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, you go. Stang.
Well,
no. I just was like jerking off to her last night, so I'm very familiar.
So she, people like her a lot, and she's been in some big franchise stuff, and was in The Mandalorian, and there was a lot of people that like doing cosplay as her character, and then she was unwilling to put her pronouns out, and then she kind of like dug in on that, and other people were saying just say what your pronouns are or don't say anything, and then she kept going harder and harder, and then I think when all that happened, then she kind of leaned in and was embraced by the right, and then eventually, you know, had some weird mask and vaccine stuff, and then Disney ultimately fucking fired her, and now she's doing a movie with Ben Shapiro or something.
Here's what Wikipedia says. So when she put her preferred gender pronouns on her Twitter profile, she put beep, bop, boop, and people got mad at her, which is understandably so. Wow. Yeah. What a wild woman. And then she
here's
the
thing that drives me the most crazy. Everyone's like, it's bullshit that politics got her fired. And it's like, if she said nothing,
she'd
still be in The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Yes.
But she had to say trans women aren't true women or whatever the fucking stupid turf J.K. Rowling angle is that she was after. And it's like, all you have to do is say nothing
and you're
a millionaire. And you get she was destined to get a spinoff on the Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. They loved her. It's kind of sad. I mean, I can say this as like a cis white male, you know, who wasn't offended, but, you know, she's not attacking me. But I do feel bad because I feel like the wrong side embraced her. And I don't know.
The dark side.
Yeah, she's got a the dark. She's got
that
a weird...
works because of the Star Wars. The dark.
Thank you. Good. You watch those movies in season
You're an
one.
Expert now, I hear.
I understand the dark side. Yes.
There's something like sexy and vulnerable about her, and you know, obviously she can't really act because they don't have her say anything in this movie. but her hand-to-hand stuff looks great.
It does look good. Oh, yeah. she also claimed voter fraud. Oh, she's doing it all.
Yeah.
It's that classic cycle of like, oh, I have this one light belief that's kind of right wing and it's bad, and then all of a sudden it's like, fuck it, I'm going full hog. Let's be an absolute monster.
Stop the steal.
She also Wikipedia has it all. She also posted on Instagram, she compared hating someone for their political views to the persecution of Jews during the Holocaust.
Oh, God.
So,
wow,
you know,
a lot of...
I guess she really was just I'm going to go hard in a direction that maybe is not good.
How did I get fired?
No one should talk about the Holocaust if you're not Jewish. Just shut the fuck up. Don't compare anything to it.
Yeah. Gabriel, I think you're onto something.
Bring it up. Like,
that might be good.
I think she got a shitty death. I think she gets a shitty death in this movie, though. I wanted Michelle Rodriguez to like beat her in the fight.
Same, she just gets like hit with a thing and then flies off.
The Rock throws her a grapple. Like, there's a few moments in this movie where The Rock does like a small setup to saving someone's life rather than just saving their life. Like, he could have shot Gina Carano with the thing and saved Letty for sure, but instead he's like, hey, heads up, and throws it to Letty, who then shoots it. He takes his time rescuing Dom, who's getting his fucking ass handed to him by Klaus. He kind of moseys up and he's like, I'm here, brother. And it's like, you could have just hit this guy from behind or shot him and we would win.
He's trying to get his like rock stuff in this movie. But they're also paying off the other cast. So it's all feels kind of like jammed in there. It's like, hell yeah, $7 is involved, my man. We got to have our rock moment. I get why Vin Diesel was just like, no, dude, just fucking just speed up. I do think, though, that there is issues with Vin showing up on time and stuff. And
he always shows up right on time. He's like Santa Claus. He's going to be there like clockwork.
Oh, you mean in production?
I mean behind the scenes.
I think he's
making people wait. And then I think Rock is like, I'm prepared. I'm in perfect shape. This should be my goddamn franchise. And they're like, dude, it's just for whatever reason, there's a magic that Diesel brings to it. And so let him fucking dance in his trailer and then show up whenever he shows up. I have some clips for you guys I want to show you.
How much do you think the fight off camera between the two of them was Corona versus Terramana placement in the Fast franchise?
Gotta be Corona. Hey, it's gotta be Terramana. Cheat meal day. I think that like I heard this guy Brian Koppelman, who has an annoying podcast. He created the show Billions, and he's kind of annoying.
I like
his
podcast.
Yeah, he's cool. He's done some good. He did
interviews. Yeah,
he did the Rounders movie, which was good, and he did Knockaround Guys, and that was like he had all this success from Rounders, and then he got to do this movie called Knockaround Guys, which is all these sons of mobsters, and it's got like Scott Kahn, I think, and Vin Diesel.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Right. And so Vin Diesel on set, this is their first directing movie. And they're like, this guy's fucking our movie up. Like, I don't get what he's doing. It doesn't work. He's screwing us up. We're fucked. And so it's this big acrimonious fight. They're battling. And then they ultimately start cutting the movie. And he was like, holy shit. He's the best fucking part of this movie. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Whatever he was doing, and I want him to expound on that more because I want to know what it was or what he saw. But he's like, look, this guy just fucking has something. Like, I don't know what. I thought on the day it wasn't going to work. And
interesting.
I'm sure The Rock is thinking that too. Like, I'm in perfect shape, my man. I was up at 3 a.m. I'm here early. The crew loves me. Tacos for everybody. It's Wednesday. And like, you know,
Diesel Taco Wednesday.
Diesel's doing whatever he's doing.
Vin Diesel gives you levels that maybe you don't think you need.
Yeah.
But he's very good at grounding shit.
Yeah.
He's super melodramatic. I think I've said this before on the podcast, but he has extreme like football player taking the musical production super seriously. Uh-huh. Like that's his energy on these movies. And I think, and in Fast 9, there's like legit abstract tone poem sequence featuring Vin Diesel, which I think we'll get to. I would love to unpack that. But he brings like theater kid energy to these mm-hmm. movies that are super macho, but then it's like, love is all that matters. Salute me, familia. And it's like, he brings this kind of compassion that you don't expect from Dom Toretto. Uh-huh. And he leans into it so hard that it's corny, but then it goes full circle in uh-huh. my book, corny to genuine, and it hits me in a way. Like I feel so strongly towards Brian and O'Connor in these movies,
yeah,
because Vin Diesel makes me feel that
him.
Way.
Yeah. Yeah, Dom loves Brian.
I love Paul Walker. When we talk about Seven, I'm gonna be fucking crying, and it's all Vin's fault. Vin's got me so attached to this motherfucker. I'm watching his other movies. I watch Takers. I'm watching random Paul Walker shit because Vin Diesel's got me so passionate about him.
Into the Blue. I want to show you guys. I know we're going like way long. Can I show you guys something?
Yes.
Of course.
Oh, so
you did more prep work than anyone. Please,
yeah, truly.
Show us something.
So this is like in the world of like loving Vin Diesel. I'm fascinated by his online presence and like what he what he does for his fans and how his fans kind of support him. So this is like this isn't great. I'll just play this one for a second. This isn't great for the audio medium, but this is Vin dancing to Beyonce in his house. I want you guys to see this and I want to hear your take on it.
Oh. Wearing a wife eater tank top, of course.
He doesn't own anything else. Oh, these are the longest shorts I've ever seen.
This wasn't a stolen video.
He posted this.
He posted this. He's barely dancing. Ooh, he's really feeling himself.
He started out as a dancer, right? He was a break dancer, I think, early on in his career.
You tell?
Those shorts are comically long.
They're
fire.
So long. This is wild because he's not
Oh, no.
I'd like to
this
draw
is like
your...
a surveillance video.
Yes, yeah. I'd like to draw your attention to the microphone and amp in the background.
Well, because he loves karaoke.
It's funny you mentioned karaoke because I have something else I want to show you.
You got
too.
Rihanna. Stay.
Do you want to hear Stay With Me by Sam Smith or Stay by Rihanna?
Stay by Rihanna. It's a classic.
Okay. This is for somebody's birthday, I think. He's got some birthday shout outs at the beginning.
This is for, unbeknownst to me, my birthday.
All along it was a fever. A cold sweat, hot heaven believe.
He's perfect. It's funny
he's
that
so
he can't
emotional.
Get the karaoke version.
Yeah, he's got to sing
like,
along to
Like, I think you
read.
Can afford it.
This is where he, this is where his baritone comes in.
Round and around and around and around we go.
I do not hate it. I'm so embarrassed.
He's kind of good.
Yeah, I know. I like it.
You know, you just want to sing with him. It's just funny because it's like he's like in a corner of his house and someone is like shooting this for real. Like there's two cameras. And those eyes are closed. Oh, he's feeling himself. Want you to stay. Yes, Finn.
Listen to the high pitch here.
I'd like to see The Rock try this shit.
Yeah.
All right, we can
see. He's perfect. I love him so much. He can do no wrong.
He had the great outfit. He had on the classic like dress shirt, no tie, suit jacket, and like
and
shredded
jeans.
Diesel jeans. Yeah. Like Christian Albinger or whatever the fuck his name is.
He's, oh, the man behind
Von Dutch?
No, what am I thinking of? Ed Hardy.
Oh, Ed Hardy. Yeah, that's the better one. That's
I fucking
I
love Ed Hardy. I was wearing an Ed Hardy shirt and I had my mullet wig on. I was walking my dog and this man got so excited, he gave me a thumbs up, and I was like, I don't know if that's good or bad. Okay, let's get into this plot summary. So, at the beginning of this movie, everybody's living peacefully around the world. Roman has a fucking jet with women in it.
Going to Macau.
Macau,
which
yeah.
is so crazy.
It's so funny. And
good
they
voucher
give
joke there.
One of these ladies, the voucher joke was funny. They gave one of the ladies a line and she like fucked it up. I can't remember what she said, but I was like, this, you did bad. You did
We're
really bad.
We're going to gamble? Yeah.
It's,
like,
it's for your SAG card. You got to do it. Come on.
Ooh, it was so bad. And then Brian and Mia have their baby Jack. Giselle and Han are together and they're thinking about putting roots down in Tokyo.
Still
teasing that Tokyo.
It is so fucking funny that they just throw these casually in the movies where they're like, yeah, we're going to go to Tokyo. And then later he's like, I have to go to Tokyo.
Just a
like,
reminder, Tokyo has not happened yet. If you remember the third movie,
it's
we haven't done that
It was
that
mentioned
yet.
Three times in this movie. Oh, and yeah. It made me laugh so hard because the least amount of people have seen Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
So it's like you were overcompensating for who? Nobody watched it.
It's the least successful of all of them. Yeah.
Doesn't this movie also feature ties to Braga?
Yeah.
And,
We
see Braga and then we see Shea Whigham again.
Yeah.
And he breaks his nose against the wall again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said, again?
Yeah, I know. The movie does it. They're like, just in case this isn't enough of an Easter egg, this was an Easter egg. And like, thumbs up to the camera.
So, okay. Hobbs comes with that pretty lady. And they got to investigate the destruction of a Russian military convoy led by Owen Shaw. And let me tell you, I didn't really understand this setup. They were just like, we got to get Shaw. And I was like, why do you got to get Shaw? I was like, why is there military stuff? It was very confusing.
I like to place these movies in their series. This is the last one they rob a corrupt Brazil.
Yes.
This is the first one where they're working
With the government.
For the good, like with the government.
Okay. And
this is the first of 3 to 7 question mark movies that feature an insane piece of technology that will change. Like, literally by the 9th movie, it's like, if they get both halves, they'll be able to burn the world down. It's like, everything is like, the God's eye is in 7. Like, they keep creating these bigger and bigger, like, apps that will take the world over.
Rabbit's foots, MacGuffins. This is where they lose me, too, because I don't like them as good guys. Like, I don't like them
either.
With
I like
the government.
Them bad. I liked Hobbs chasing them and the bad guy. I liked two bad guys chasing them. But Hobbs is like, you're going to beg me to take this mission, because he shows him that picture of Letty, who's like magically still alive. Turns out she wasn't shot. He shot the car. She flew from the explosion and tumbled down a hill, ended up in the hospital. And then the man who tried to kill her visited her at the hospital and was like, you don't remember nothing? Perfect. I was like, wait, what?
Very flimsy. And it's also what inextricably ties him to Toretto and gives, it's his weakness. And he's the precision guy. Like, why on earth would he have somebody that has fucking amnesia on his team? He's obsessed with precision.
I know. He has like 9 elite British soldiers on his squad.
And then a dizzy bitch who can't remember
racer
nothing.
Who's got amnesia. The power of Michelle Rodriguez. But
she can't smell or taste. You're in charge of eliminating our biggest threat, Dominic Toretto.
I don't know about the behind the scenes on this, but I feel like she wanted out of the franchise. Gets killed off, and then the franchise starts popping off again.
For
they're
sure.
Like, they tag that thing at 5 where Eva Mendez from 2 is now working with The Rock, gives the picture. Michelle Rodriguez is alive. Do you picture a writer's room full of like millionaire people all sitting in a circle going, okay, here's the original shot of us killing Letty. How can we change? And then you remember that the Letty killing was visualized by
Toretto. Yes, by Vin Diesel. So it's not real.
Right. So it could be wrong. And it's like, oh my God, they unlocked it. It's like winning a fight with your spouse, but in the dumbest way possible. You're like, actually, you did say I could drive the car. And it's like, oh, fine. And
I think that's a stroke of genius on the part of Justin Lin. I think he might have foresaw like some this kind of playing out in this way, because it's like, they may have had footage of her, you know, meeting her end, but the fact that it's nebulous and then they kind of pay that off is cool. You don't know why Laz Alonso, like, does he have a weak moment when they show the flashback? He's going to blow her head off, but then he just is like, I can't fucking shoot her directly, but I can shoot her indirect. Is that his plan? He's not trying to keep her alive.
No. I think that's like, maybe I shouldn't shoot a woman who's like crawling with her head. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
a real baddie, though, you know?
He's so bad in the movie.
He's very bad.
Sense.
It doesn't make any sense why he doesn't shoot her point blank.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense in this movie why a lot of the good guys don't just shoot bad guys point. Like, even The Rock is eventually like, you are like legally allowed to shoot some of these criminals. Just shoot them. Stop. Stop. Like, I got to get inside that plane and start fist fighting them. It's like, fucking shoot at them. I hate to be the American screaming use guns, but he's the head of like Homeland Security.
You
whatever.
Hate to be come on.
No, you love being the American. You're wearing a literal bandana on your head.
But so it's a blue bandana.
Yeah, for America.
America.
You're probably wearing something red on the bottom.
I'm with
Byron. They find Shaw's hideout, but it's a decoy. And then he's like performing some other heist. And then he's got cars that flip other cars. I was like, wait, what? How is this a thing? What is this used for other than like racing in the street and flipping cars?
Right. Well, that's the beauty of this series, is that they're just like, well, can we just create another crew of people who are good with cars? It's like, well, we got to give them weird cars. They're like, all right, yeah, we got it. We'll figure it out.
Well, and it's also
we'll
like
Formula One racers meet spatulas that they can just like flip
yes,
cars over there.
Yes, it
was
head. A car spatula.
I'm a huge fan of ramps and things that are portable. So putting those together, I was like, portable ramps? You got Stanger.
Oh, boy.
I wanted to say just quick sidebar, too. I asked my wife, like, I'm doing this Fast and the Furious podcast. What do you think? What comes to mind with Fast and the Furious? And all she said was Megan Fox, which I thought was really funny. And I was like, nope, not in any of them.
Not
Transformers.
Not even close.
Not yet. Not yet, to be fair.
Yeah, she might ends be up becoming, in the 10 and 10 and a half.
Yeah. If she ends up being like an international superstar in any capacity, Vin will roll her into the franchise in a heartbeat. He is not above it. We see everyone.
And then I asked my 10-year-old son, Fast and the Furious, what comes to mind? And he's like, no interest, like zero interest. Could not he for him it's like he likes he wants to see Free Guy really bad and scary movies, so like Conjuring, like that kind of shit, but Fast and the Furious. But one of my clients that I train, she has this really attractive family friend who's maybe like 20 years old from Long Island, super hot, crazy crazy accent. One time I asked her what she's doing for spring break and she's like, I'm going to Bahamas. And I was like, Bahamas? What is Bahamas? She was saying Bahamas.
But, Bahamas.
Yeah. She was making fun of her brother-in-law, her sister's husband, because he watches a lot of Disney Plus. And I was like, she's like, put it this way. He watches a lot of Disney Plus. And I said, well, what about you? What are you into? And she's like, the Fast Saga. And so I was like, oh, she's pretty cool and sexy. And she's all about the Fast Saga. So there, I mean, there obviously is a huge demo because they're immensely successful, but
there are some dumpy older successful men who are very into the franchise as well.
People love it. I love it. Yeah. I'm here for it. It's fun. So, okay. We learn that Letty has fucking amnesia. Dom challenges Letty to a street race to help her remember.
This was sexy. Then, I loved
it
him.
It was sexy.
Pulling up and just not challenging her, just like, hey, let's race, you know, and just kind of like
he's got a good look. He gives her a great look and a even better look when he wins.
Yeah.
And like, then he like goes backwards or whatever and Letty's like, this guy's crazy. And I was like, oh my god. It was just a perfect line read. I couldn't believe it. And then she fucking, wait, is this when she shoots him?
No, that happens earlier.
Oh, that's later. Oh, that's earlier.
Yeah. That's her. She catches him in the shoulder and then he knows it's like her face to face. And then later he challenges. They have to get the cars first before he can race.
Yeah. And getting the cars was wild because they got it from that man who like racially profiled them. And then they made him take off all his clothes.
I like
shit like this. If you're making a diverse movie, put a white racist in it. And
yes.
Fucking shame the fuck out of him. And you know, Ludacris is a billionaire because they just did a huge heist one movie ago. Mm-hmm. So you're like, this is so funny. Like, and also Ludacris, yes, not white. Dude looks wealthy AF.
He does look rich. He's got good skin. He dresses well.
Yes.
He looks like money.
Yeah, he does not look like he works anywhere. He doesn't look like he works. He's Tej, baby.
This guy's take on the wealthy white racist was great, too. Like, he's just really...
mm-hmm.
But my shirt wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't care. Tee hee hee. And the pants.
Rock's
and
got a great moment with
boxers.
With a wink, too. You know, now the pants and winks. Great.
Okay. So then there's like a Spanish NATO base that's Shaw's next target. And I'm like, fucking why? Why military bases? And then everyone at the Spanish NATO base speaks English. And I said, okay, that's fine.
Also, doesn't The Rock say like, we are headed to España? Or is it Vinti? Like one of them says, and you're like, guys,
it's The Rock.
Just shoot the fucking movie.
We're headed to España. Okay. So then Shaw's crew steals a computer chip from a military convoy to complete his device. Shaw and Letty commandeer a tank and destroy cars in its path. And then
let's talk through the tank set piece, because that's a big set piece in the movie.
Yes.
And it's a lot of fun. So it's on a dual like bridge, and the guys are driving the Fast crew are driving old cars because they need cars without computers because they have those hockey pucks. What are that? A hockey puck? They have hockey pucks that shut down your computer.
Yeah, that
shut
down the computer and fry your car. So they got to go old school.
It's like Italian Job. They're all driving like weird old minis and shit like that. And it looks cool. And then the bad guys are driving a fucking tank that's
a
working.
A whole ass tank.
It's being transported loaded with ammunition somehow. Like, that's not how you transport a tank. And then
and
it shoots out the fucking...
To be fair to them, Gabriel, so you're going to save time and space if you just load it. You're gonna you're gonna transport the bullets separate. Just put them in the tank.
Load the tank. Yeah. Also, this is a great shot of like Letty is now a comms expert on tanks. She's like,
everyone's
like fucking with the dials
they
and shit.
Stop explaining how people know how to do stuff in this movie. Like the last movie, they were like, I had a life before this, but now they're just like, whatever. Who gives a shit? She knows how to do all this shit. So they're like shooting. Or no, so the tank runs over Roman's car. Roman climbs out of his car. He jumps onto Brian's car, and he's like, woohoo, yeah, I did it. I'm not dead. And then they were like, Letty, get on top of the tank and figure out how to cut this car loose. And Letty's like, yup, that's in my wheelhouse. So then, for whatever reason, like the car flips the tank. Letty shoots out into the sky. Dom sees it. Dom jumps up.
Brian drives the
car. He makes it an anchor.
Yes.
That's like another layer to this fucking thing where it's like, we gotta bump this over the side.
Brian, make it an anchor.
Great. Good call.
Yeah.
Truly so wild. It's insane that in the moment, they're like, we know exactly what we need to do to stop a full-fledged tank. And they do it.
It looks great. It looks cool.
It's
the tank
very
crushing
fun.
Cars. They do a good job in this sequence too of like, not a bunch of innocent people are dying. Don't worry. Keep showing them running away from their cars.
Honestly, they did not tell the extras what to do. Or they did not speak the same language as the extras, because there was times where like someone was like looking around being like, well, where is it coming from? Is it behind us or in front of us? And then they like just kind of start walk running.
As if you couldn't hear a tank crunching through cars, firing.
Oh, you're so right.
It's, I think this movie suffers a little bit too from, I mean, and this is just what has to happen in making the logical progression, is that they can't set them all in like the, you know, in Rio de Janeiro, like, or the Dominican Republic, or, and so London is not as visually interesting to me.
It
like
really
it's too
isn't.
Dark. So when they get to Madrid, it's better because it's more brightly colored. And also they're delivering on more action and spectacle, but it makes the stuff go on for too long. So you just get a little numb. Whereas I feel like 5, they threaded the needle really well. And this one, every chase and fight is always about 20% too long. And this one clocks in over 2 hours. And it's just like, oh, man,
it's long.
You know, by the time we get to that plane thing at night, it's just like, you're like, all right, I guess.
Yeah, and you're like, it's been a long 48 hours in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of action that these guys, and Vin Diesel's healed from his bullet. Like, everyone is healed.
He is absolutely, he takes the bullet out himself.
Right.
He never goes to the hospital. He doesn't need it.
Well, because it's so important to figure out where the gun came from when the guy just says, I don't know where she is. They're like, we got the bullet. We find the guy. And the guy's like, I don't know. And that's the end of that. So you're like,
all right. So fucking Hobbs takes Shaw, but then brings Shaw to the crew to reveal that Mia has been kidnapped by Shaw's henchmen. And in this sequence, we see her give the baby away
to Elena.
To Elena, but then they're both fine. So it's like, why did you give the baby? What is happening? I don't know.
Yeah, just run away. What does she see that makes her run back to the house?
It's nuts. So then Hobbs is forced to release Shaw. And I was like, this couldn't have been a phone call? Why did you bring Shaw all the way to them to be like, hey, he got something to tell you?
to have that fucking huge neck-breaking turn where it goes, honey, you coming with? I thought you would never ask. Thanks for popping in, Gina. Yeah.
Her one line in the whole movie is just kind of like, oh, she talks and she's bad?
She fucked it up. Yeah. So then Letty stays with Dom. And then, okay, so now Shaw's group's boarding this fucking airplane.
Yeah, the Spruce Goose.
This is wild. So Dom, Letty, and Brian chase after them, board the plane. Brian,
that's not a plane. That's a planet. One of like Tyrese's three per movie.
And
that's,
I was
not
like,
blank.
Oh boy.
It's blank. Yeah.
That was bad. I was like, this one was bad. This one could have been edited out. But
that
was
written too. All the stuff he improvises is gold. Just let him go. Just let him riff.
Yeah, let him
go.
Do
a fucking shitty joke in there, Chris Morgan.
So this whole sequence was a little confusing to me. I was like, okay, so they think shooting these things into the wings of the plane is going to anchor this plane down. This is a very big plane, and these are little cars.
So this is the thing that drives me crazy about this sequence. You're right. Why do they think that? More importantly, why does each car have that technology in it when they didn't know a plane was coming because they're surprised by it. So they all just were like, look, we stole these grappling hooks from those guys, so we might as well each have one with a NOS tank hooked up to it. And they were like, yeah, we should put one in each car while we drive out there. Like, they're packing the car to go on this chase or whatever it's like.
And more importantly, how is this nighttime airplane battle going to top the tank thing in Madrid?
Right. It's like, yeah, so similar.
You had your end.
They are very, very similar.
And the one was the tank one was better. It's well lit. Fucking mm-hmm. Dom saves Letty fucking dramatically.
But in this, you have Wonder Woman sacrificing herself to save Han.
That's true.
You have the plane crashing as Dom drives a car out of the exploding plane.
You're right.
And then lands behind the plane and then walks through the flames unscathed.
Not even limping. Credit is due, nothing. Nicole. You're right.
The plane jizzes Vin out like as a huge cum blast shooting out the first sperm. Yo, is Vin Diesel in his muscle car.
I got
car.
That plane to bust a nut.
Watching this movie, knowing Han dies in 3, and then you watch his girlfriend die,
it's
and you're like,
rough.
Oh, this poor fucking guy.
This is too much. I texted you. I was like, this is too much for Han. I cannot believe this.
They give her a good death. I got to give her that. I like Giselle's
But I was
death.
Like, is she dead? I said that to you because I was like, I haven't finished it yet. But I was like, she dies in a way where she goes into this like abyss. She could be rolling around in a field somewhere, you know, spinning around into Wonder Woman, does those movies, comes back, and she's Giselle again.
Hey, I tell you what, man, she does a couple of more of those Imagine videos and, you know, has a one or two that don't do that well. She's coming back as Giselle.
I'm not going to lie. She might. I would not put it past the fucking franchise.
Just to pay her and bring her back.
Yeah, truly. Like, truly, because that would be like such fan service. I mean, she's in flashbacks in later movies too, so she gets like an extra paycheck. But uh-huh. I do believe we never saw her dead, and that's something that comes up in like
and
whatever
I would like
studio
to see
writers.
Her and Han together, because I grew
Me
to
too.
Really like this relationship.
Same.
I'm the same. I love Han. I know you guys like him too, and he's maybe one of my favorites of the whole series.
Han's great.
Yeah.
Han is incredible. It's so wild that like his small part in Tokyo Drift blossomed into this, like, he's great. Like, I would not want to watch these movies without him, which is funny because I did. I watched 1 and 7. He's not in 7.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, they don't ever give him enough to do, in my opinion, but the actor is so enigmatic, and he brings
Ooh, that's
something.
That's an SAT word. What's that? Enigmatic? Enigmatic?
Enigmatic. He brings
he's
something.
He's an enigma.
Yeah, he brings something special that you know, he's got, like, a full life, and he's always kind of like watching and thinking, and you're always like, mm-hmm. what's on his mind?
He excels if he's in a scene with just him or with one other person. Not everyone else in this movie can handle like holding the camera by themselves, but Sung Kang can totally. Like, he's fully enriched in this character. And I think Justin Lin and him are old buddies.
Yeah,
like,
they did Justin Lin's. Yeah, that his first kind of big hit. He put him in that, and they were great together. That's a cool movie too.
Yeah,
what's it called?
Better Off Tomorrow. Oh. It was like the first MTV film I remember when it came out. And like
he'd maybe done a short or something before that, and that kind of got him in the conversation. And then he started doing big movies, and really found himself with Fast and Furious. Because he did Tokyo Drift, and then he did like Annapolis and some other kind of like chintzy, big budget action. All, you know, Neil Moritz produces all these movies, and all his stuff has a cheap pastiche to me, you know, which I guess kind of works for these. But like he did Stealth and movies like that where you're like, oh, yeah, I guess I can kind of see that this is, you know, it's marketing minded, you know.
I just think it's so wild that he did Tokyo Drift and they were like, all right, you can do more. Because Tokyo Drift was not good.
Yeah, it didn't make money, but I guess he just sold them on his vision because, you know, Too Fast, Too Furious was a hit. Like, it made good money.
Wait, was that a Justin Lin one?
No, that was Singleton.
Oh, yeah. I like Too Fast, Too Furious, but it was very music video for me. And
I love it.
It just deviated from the first one.
I love it. I think it's why 5 was so good. Because there's obviously Roman and Luda, and there's elements of that one that they brought into 5, which makes 5 the best in the series, in my opinion. They also, I wanted to talk to you guys, as we're running out of time, that they don't ever soar to the levels of horniness that 1 and 2 did. They're one and two are real male gazy, horny, sexy, and they try to do that in all the other ones, but they all feel like a Fanta commercial or it's always like
the,
you know,
the
like,
sex the sexuality in this movie is always 25 seconds of butt cheeks and dancer b-roll before a street race.
Like, yeah, it's always it's like the Ricky Martin She Bangs video or something, like the way it's they're lit, or they're like a Sony a Sony, I don't know, whatever a phone is that's not an iPhone, like one of their commercials, like where they show like a rooftop party or something, you know, and you're like, this is this is the sexiest thing you can show, you know.
And it's just so funny how frequently there are huge parties filled with underdressed women dancing and men sitting around drinking. It's like, how many of these exist in every country? Because these guys find them all.
And how are they not sexy somehow? I don't know. It's, it's too sterile or something. I don't know what it is.
It is very sterile. Also, the way Letty sits in Dom's lap is sterile. He like doesn't know what to do with his hands. And I'm like, this is the woman you've been with. She doesn't remember you. She said it feels like home. But like you can touch her. Like, I think she's allowing you to touch her in a way that you used to.
Go back to one when you guys fucked in the garage together. That was so hot.
Ooh, yeah. I love that scene. They're all greasy and dirty and it's darkly lit.
Yeah, as these movies get bigger and that they're looking to just make money overseas, they're like, remove sexuality, add fucking bigger explosions, add stuff that you don't need to speak English to enjoy. Just like just big spectacles and it'll just sell globally and crush it. And it's a bummer because those little hardcore, like not hardcore sex, but like the little relationships that are in there, like the Dom and Brian, the Dom and Letty, the Giselle and Han, like those are what make the Roman and Brian, like these are what make these movies strong, is these like little romantic. And I think when it's actual romance, like intimacy romance, they got to show more. They got to show Letty passionately kissing.
I want it. I want it.
Me too.
Okay, so
she's still dealing with amnesia in Seven. Spoiler alert, she's still struggling with her amnesia in the next
Wait,
movie.
She is?
Yes, but it gets resolved in the best way, and I'm looking forward to talking about that with you in a couple hours.
Okay, so Hobbs agrees to pardon them. Dom, he's like, what do you want? And he's like, 1327. And that's the old house in L.A. And they're back there. They're having a barbecue. And Paul Walker, Brian is just like to his baby. He's like, the air quality's bad, the traffic's bad, but you have your own garage. And I was like, what? Okay, cool.
Legal weed.
And the kid's dressed like a monk again or something. He's got like some weird gown on and the beanie.
It's weird. Very weird.
I think they could not get a human child on set like legally or something, and they had to like dress up a bag of ferrets as a baby or something, because it's like it doesn't make a lot of sense why the kid is in so many shots and looks so unusual.
A bag of ferrets. Just keep honey on your finger. They'll go after the honey. Good, good, good.
I missed this, but there's a mid-credit scene where Han is involved in a car chase and is suddenly hit by an oncoming car. So I assume this is Tokyo Drift.
So, I could talk us through this because it's pretty crazy. The end mid-credit sequence in this movie is a full-on sequence from Tokyo Drift, like where they drift through the crowd of people. Mm-hmm. Remember that from 3? And it ends, and remember Han dies and like his car flips.
Mm-hmm.
In this mid-credit sequence, it's the car flips and Jason Statham is the guy who drove and crashed into him. He gets out. He's Shaw's brother. Calls Dominic Toretto and says, Toretto, it's me, Shaw's brother, and I just killed someone. And then he throws his cross onto Han, onto the thing.
Oh my God.
Then we see Vin Diesel show up, which we saw at the end of Tokyo Drift, when he goes and he knows Han. Then we see them over on the side talking, and he's like, Han had this, and it's the necklace, and it's like, this is so shoehorned in, but it really pushes the whole movie forward and inspires why Statham's the bad guy in Seven.
It's tough to buy Statham drifting in Tokyo against a bunch of kids, though.
Yeah, well,
that's the thing you have to remember. Han is hanging out with high school kids.
He's young.
He's
babies.
A full-grown adult.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's lived 5 lives, according to the franchise. He's like 41. He should be like 40-something, hanging out with 16-year-olds in Tokyo.
I'm here
Tokyo
at Tokyo, drifting 9-year-olds. Do you know what I mean? Toretto, do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Real quick, we have to take another break.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, we're back. Real quick, this film, it won awards. Best Action or Adventure Film at the Saturn Awards. Best On-Screen Duo at the MTV Movie Awards. Vin Diesel, Paul Walker. Outstanding Performance by a Stunt Ensemble in a Motion Picture at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Yeah, I get that, because the stunts are fucking wild.
They are. There should be Oscars for stunts. I think we've screamed it on this podcast before.
I truly think there should. They're incredible. Fuck yeah. And like, all that shit is like practical. Like, that's cool. Yeah.
It is. I have two quick thoughts I want to leave you guys before we have to wrap this up. Because I'd be remiss if I didn't tell. I got a Fast and the Furious insider story. And it works. When do we lose Paul Walker? Seven. Okay.
Yeah.
So it dovetails in nicely to your next episode. He unfortunately wasn't able to finish the movie. And it was a big story that Universal cast his twin brother and maybe his other brother to kind of fill out the role for him. It's nice. It's what they should have done. I had a friend of mine that worked with, or that knows the actor double that they hired. Because the reality of it is, it'd be great if it was his brother with whatever he's doing in his life to come out there and finish. But it's a lot of heavy lifting because he has to be on screen with the actors and act the part. And they need to emote and have moments together. So they cast an actual actor that fit Paul Walker's dimensions. And so this guy has also done other shows. I won't say his name because I don't think Universal did. But this guy has done other shows and movies. He's got an okay career. But he came on this movie. He did a really great job. He finished this thing and he said it was so fucking surreal because they had stopped down on the movie and then started back up. And he said, I was ostensibly the A-team. I was there with the leads of the movie. I got treated the exact same way they did. I had moments. They would, you know, for to use my body as like a composite or whatever. I would have close-ups. I acted with everybody. I had my trailer. I did first class travel international. I'm babied and protected. I'm there with Vin Diesel, all of them. And he said, then the movie ends. I completely walk away from it. I'm not in it. It's not me up there at all.
Damn.
I get no credit, and it's the last time I'll ever have that experience. So he said it was very fucking surreal to be
that must be insane.
You are the fucking star of this, but then really like
you're
not.
You're not.
Yeah.
How wild.
Yeah.
Shit, dude. That's like Dan Lippert in Son of Zorn.
Yeah. Real deep cut, but yes.
And then my second thing I wanted to ask you guys, What, for a while during the tram ride at Universal, they had this weird thing with Fast and the Furious cars where they would just kind of bounce around on hydraulics. Like you saw Jaws, you saw this, you saw Kong, and then you saw these Fast and the Furious cars. And it was when the franchise was in not in the best shape that it's in now. And I thought, is Universal leaving something on the table by not doing a Radiator Springs for Fast and the Furious? You know, the cars ride at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Why not do that for Fast and the Furious at Universal Studios?
It's crazy that there's not even like the shitty Transformers all spark, like just a, like one of those video based rides. Like you could do a Fast and the Furious one so quickly.
I thought of it when it was the tunnel part in Fast and Furious where they're zipping through the tunnel. Ooh, and it's really like, whoa, it'd be so cool if they did something on a track, obviously, to be the coolest. But I'm with you, Gabrus. Like, how are they not? This is $1 billion. It's pretty much all they got, you know, as far
right,
as.
Yeah, it's their biggest thing. The Dark Universe ain't panning out for them. It's just the Fast Saga that's working out right now.
Yeah. I feel like that movie would drive revenue to the parks big time.
Real quick. This movie, the budget was $160 million, and it made $789 million.
$160 million is a huge investment, and then they just fucking blow the doors off.
I mean, how wild.
Yeah. God damn, that's so crazy.
That's here's so some much fucking
trivia.
Money.
Yeah. So Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, improvised the "you better hide that big ass forehead." So the reaction of Ludacris spitting out his drink is real. The tank chase originally planned was to be created via CGI, but then Justin Lin was like, it has to be done practically.
Yes.
With some post-production enhancements. The tank ran over approximately 250 cars during filming.
Oh, wow. Awesome. I mean, there's like 150 on camera. I'm assuming some of them got, but there's a
some
shit
of them got
ton of cars being crushed.
Yeah. In the scene in London when Domin is racing Letty, there's a small boy who's watching the race from a classic London double-decker red street bus. The same kid is shown watching Dom and Brian as they pull in the safe in the previous movie, Fast Five. The young boy is Justin Lin's son.
Oh,
and I'll
it.
Tell you something. Didn't clock this kid at all.
Me either.
I have no idea what this trivia is about.
I love he got the kid. That's cute, though. That's, I mean, this is
in
like
in the 2-hour and 40-minute movie featuring over 1 million explosions. You missed the cutaway shot of a child on a bus.
I missed that little kid. Tee hee hee.
Understandably, baby.
Sanger, do you have anything that you want to plug?
I got a HeadGum podcast, Dumbbells, with the wonderful Eugene Cordero. People should check that out. And then Action Boys with Gabrus. It's a lot more of this type of shit. Just us screaming about movie shit and then, you know, having inane theories and all that kind of shit.
I love it.
I highly recommend Action Boys. Dumbbells is great, but I highly recommend the one that gets me paid as well.
Well, we'll be back literally truly this will come out next week, but we're recording this in a couple hours. Furious 7, baby. And if you want us to read your review, you can write us a review and we'll read it in the right and review.
Okay. Oh boy.
Not my name, LOL, is what this person wrote for their name, Fast and Totally Furious. So the one thing I completely tell my friends that talk about this movie series is it's a total male soap opera. From dead people coming back to life, to cars, to drug lords, to more cars. Now we're going to space. A total male soap opera. Keep up the laughs. Thank you very much. Night. Vroom, vroom. Ian 776 said, good pod.
thank you Ian, you know, as long as it's 5 stars, you can write whatever dumb shit you want in there. Super appreciated, bud.
Ray is a regular Mark Twain with the humorous.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
All right, that's it. I gotta go watch Furious 7.
Let's do what we do best and improvise.
That was a HeadGum Original.